No, no, go ahead. Record. This is fascinating. Step one. All right. Yes.
Step one, record.
Yes. And what's step two?
Step two. Say something interesting.
Say something interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Step three.
Wait, Big Fatty does a show every damn day and doesn't say anything interesting.
Edit.
So that's clearly, that's not a a very important rule.
Okay, you're recording right now and everything is ready to go and you have your hand over the button.
I do.
Okay, so let's kick this pig.
From the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe, it's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by Thanksgiving. Because it's a holiday, and you get it off, and you don't have to work. Unless you do. In which case, that sucks. But you know, it's Thanksgiving. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer, and I am joined from the Thanksgiving-free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns. Hello, Adam.
Hello, Daniel. Welcome back.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much.
Week of giving thanks.
It is. It is a week of giving thanks. I would like to just officially claim here in the Northeast, we do own the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, which, of course, is the only thing important that happens on Thanksgiving Day. So, therefore, you, sir, do not have anything important. By the way, whatever happened, do you remember last year when that other show, the one that they used to care about us, what was it called? It's All About Me. Remember when they did their own little Thanksgiving parade and it was great and everything? And I had like
a little
bit worked up for this year. I was going to like record our little float things.
It's, you know, it was like the Squares Town Parade. I don't remember what they called it. And it was like they were sitting in a booth.
They were
high above the street, watching the floats go by, and they had, you know, the crowd all gathered and the marching bands and everything. A lot of production value in that one.
It was amazing.
Well, you know, they are wealthy. And they paid
to shut off the roads, to pull the permits, to have all that stuff done. And
to fly everyone in. They didn't fly us in, though.
No, we weren't invited to the parade.
No. And now, I don't know what they still record, but I don't know what happened to them. They fell off the face of the planet.
No, they've fallen in with that crazy crowd. They've fallen in with the Baron Frosty crowd, and he doesn't believe in Thanksgiving because he's, he's a vegan or something, and they don't believe in Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is. And so now, you know, he's forbid them from doing a Thanksgiving Day parade. It's really horrible. It's just, won't someone please think of the turkeys? Won't someone please think of the turkeys?
You know, I think I've mentioned this before, but we have a festival around here called Turkey Trot.
You know, and I think you mention this every year on Thanksgiving on this
Maybe I do. And you know what they do?
They trot turkeys.
They drop turkeys out of an airplane.
Yes, I know.
They do.
We do. We do this every year. And then I bring up the fact that there was a WKRP in Cincinnati thing. And it was like, with God as my witness, I thought turkeys could fly. Yes, ha 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 ha. Anyway, hi, Adam. How are you? I had, sorry for the folks. Well, first of all, let me just say a huge thank you to Mike Lawson for filling in for me when I was high above the country. I was listening to you guys on the plane, but it kept cutting in and out because the Wi-Fi on Southwest Airlines was not the greatest. So I heard parts of the show, but I had to wait until the show was released for me to actually go back and listen and hear stuff.
And I was on top of it. I released it the same night, did all the editing. I thought it sounded pretty good.
You did. But you know what, Adam? It is 10:19 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, and that can, of course, mean only one thing. We were streaming live on Pride48.com, and we are joined by the world-famous Pride48 chat room. Adam, who is joining us this evening?
We have Ant, Carlo, Ed Chan, Goonie Goo Goo, Mib, Q Sledge, RT Cruiser, that blue jeans guy, and Mr. Green Jeans, who is newly his boyfriend, apparently. Toppy Smelly. We have Gary. We have Good Humor Penguin, Carrie, and R Con PC. Why doesn't he just keep the same name? It's RC.
Because he likes
in Wisconsin.
He likes to play. I mean, that's his thing. That's his shtick.
His shtick is renaming himself every week. But anyway, welcome, chat room.
It's a game he likes to play, and we enjoy letting him play. That's fine.
You know, appropriate for RC.
Yes.
I was listening to another podcast today, and I don't have the list, but you can look this up on Google, I'm sure. There is a list of Thanksgiving recipes with marijuana added.
Really? Wouldn't that just basically be any recipe that you wanted to add marijuana to?
Well, I think that was kind of the whole shtick or the joke on this podcast was every single recipe was the exact same as it was, except you added canna butter.
Right. Yeah.
There's this cannabis butter called canna butter.
All right. So here you go, Adam. It's a fun little thing called science. The THC inside of marijuana, the active ingredient that gets you high inside of marijuana, is fat soluble. So what you do, you see, is you take some butter, some real butter, not some of that, margarine or whatever. You take real butter and you melt it into a pan, and then you add your raw marijuana leaves to it. And you let them steep inside the butter. And what happens is that the fat inside the butter will leach out the THC. And then you basically pour it through a strainer and you throw away all the leaves, because the leaves are crap anyway. All you need is the THC. And then you have lovely butter that is now infused with THC, and you may bake whatever baked goods you would like to as normal, using the can of butter instead of the regular butter. And that is how you get pot brownies and whatnot. And I know that there, I've seen this before, where people actually just like throw the leaves in the brownie mix and what, and that's just crap, because then you're just basically eating leaves, which is disgusting.
My dog loves to do that. she brings in leaves all the time, but she's very nice. I say, Sydney, come here, and she gives me the leaf. she puts it in my hand.
She gives you the leaf, all right.
So
she does.
So yeah.
All right.
Anyway, you were listening to the show last week.
I was, and Lawson like brought up some things about the screen sabbatical and stuff. You know what? I don't even care anymore. I really don't.
Well, I thought you might have an opinion on that.
I did, so, but you know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't. It really doesn't matter. You know, here's the thing: I don't even remember this now, because so many things have happened since then. But basically, my objection to it was that it was making it seem as though technology is bad. And I, of course, am a huge technology advocate. And I don't believe that technology is bad. I don't believe that there is a problem with people using technology. So for people to say, I just had to get away from that horrible technology. And granted, those were not his words, but that was the feeling implied in that. It's like, I'm going to get away from this horrible, distracting, this horrible thing, and you should too. That's kind of the vibe that I took from it, rightly or wrongly. That was the vibe that I took from it, and that was my only objection with it, and that doesn't really matter. And now, in example of this, Adam, in example of this.
Wow, you did homework. You like having bullet points.
In example of this, there was a news report that came out, or a news story that came out last week. I had it on the Trello for last week, but obviously wasn't it here. And maybe some of you read this, right? Maybe some of you read this article here. It was comparing a restaurant in 2004 to that same restaurant in 2014. And the difference between the two, because this restaurant had started getting bad reviews on Craigslist, people were complaining about them, about their service being really slow. And the restaurant found an old videotape from 2004 from their security system, and they compared it against the digital video of that they took of today's customers, and then they compared them, and they went off and they found these things, and then this they analyzed it and they posted these things. And if you've read this story, the gist of it is that the reason that the restaurant was slower now is because people were spending time on their cell phones, and they were taking pictures of their food, and they were being more, they wanted the waiters to take pictures of them sitting at the table. And everything. It was all about how their phones were basically causing the holdup. It wasn't the restaurant that was the blame. It was, the cell phones. Now, immediately my bullshit sensor starts going off, because I'm like, what? That's bullshit. This is a stupid. When was the last time you went to a restaurant and had a waiter take a photo of your table, right? It's like, yeah, we have phones, but this is 2014. This is not 2002 when the iPhone came out, or 2006 when the iPhone came out, right? We're kind of over that now. It's like, you either know how to use them or you don't. So this whole concept of this thing was just complete and utter bullshit. Yet if you read the comments on these stories, people are just going, I knew it. It's the cell phones and goddamn thing. But there was five different news outlets, including Business Insider, that carried this story. And they all linked back to the same story on The Gothamist, which is a blog, a New York City-based blog. And that is the only source of this report. And they quoted that this was posted on a Craigslist rants and raves section. Now, of course, since this is The Gothamist and it's talking about a New York City restaurant, I went to the extra step and went to Craigslist rants and raves or New York City in Manhattan, and there was no such post on the rants and raves. So this is a complete bullshit story that five respectable news outlets have picked up from a blog and now have spent out into the thing, basically talking about how technology is bad and that it's the problem, you know, that's the reason that restaurants are long. It's just, I'm tired of it, Adam. I'm just tired of people like pretending like technology is this horrible, evil thing that is like going to consume their lives or whatever. It's just, it annoys me. That's all. And so that, Mike Lawson, was my problem with your screen sabbatical stuff, is I got the opinion that you were basically saying technology was bad, and that rubbed me.
Ring! Ring!
I don't know where the fucking thing is.
Hello? No, I swear I hear a phone.
I told you this is going to be a horrible show tonight. All right, let's take this.
Yeah, hi guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Sad one is animator Arthur Rankin of Rankin Bass, dead at 89. I'm sure they'll be dragging all those ones out for Christmas this year. Bye.
What the hell did he just say?
Animator somebody. Rankin Bass, maybe?
Yeah, hi guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Phone. Sad one is animator Arthur Rankin of Rankin Bass.
Arthur Rankin of Rankin Bass.
Arthur Rankin.
Arthur Rankin.
Arthur, okay, Google.
Who the fuck is Arthur Gardner Rankin Jr. was an American director, producer, and writer who mostly worked in animation. And I'm looking here.
He did that Santa Claus movie that comes on every year.
And that god-awful Frosty the Snowman movie, too.
Yeah, I love those. Oh, well, we got to give that to him. Arthur Rankin?
There you go.
Arthur Rankin. Arthur Rankin. I'm writing it in the spread. I'm typing it in the spreadsheet right now.
Hold on. Before you write it down,
Google is telling me his movies include Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Yeah, No. But according to this, he died January 30th of 2014.
Oh, well, we can't give that to you then.
What the hell? He died earlier in the year, according to this. It wasn't anything new.
Sorry, you're trying to. So RT is just going back and getting old deaths? Is this what we have stooped to, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes. Trying to sneak one past us. See, he goes and he looks and he's just like, oh yeah, well, they'll just look it up and they'll give it to us. Yeah, no.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
So while you were gone, I was also gone to Vegas while you were in L.A.
Yeah, did I mention that I went? You know what? What I wanted to say was thank you to Mike Lawson for filling in for me the week that I was in L.A. And also last week, as you will hear later, I'm having there are some personal things going on in my life, and I just was unable to podcast last week because of my mental state. But it doesn't matter. Go ahead, Adam. You had told half of your story about being in Vegas. I believe we were up to the point where you had gotten right next to Britney Spears' crotch. And had taken the photo, and now go on.
Well, I was going to tell the rest of the trip because Britney, although let me just tell you guys, Joe Batanz had a friend at that same Britney Spears concert, and Mike Lawson had like two friends and Mark and I at that concert. So what a small world.
The thing is those Mike Lawson's friends were out there. He actually had told them that he was going to get their third ticket from them, and they were standing out there right. Waiting for him. They were really pissed that he didn't show up. Yeah.
Yeah. What I was talking about was some of the things that went wrong on the trip. So Britney Spears was good. You know, she lip synced. I don't know if that, anyway, she sunk. I don't know.
She sunk. Britney Spears.
She did. But it was enjoyable. She had hot dancers, and I've never been that close to someone that famous before at a concert. So that was kind of cool. Anyway, so Sunday, my idea was to go to the Grand Canyon.
That was a bad idea.
So we would, I've never been to the Grand Canyon, and every time I go to Vegas, I think I should really take the time to go to the Grand Canyon.
No, here's the problem with that, Adam. That is like people going to, like, let's say LA for the first time and going, you know, I've never been to San Francisco. I should do that while I'm here. It's five fucking hours away. It's not like the Grand Canyon is right next to Vegas. It's a hike to get there.
Not exactly, because there are different parts of the Grand Canyon. So there's the part owned by the government, and then there's the part that's only 2.5 hours from Vegas that's owned by this Native American tribe.
Yes.
So I thought, just so I can say I've been to the Grand Canyon, we'll just go to this one that's 2.5 hours away. We'll make a little road trip out of it. We'll have lunch there. We'll come back. No big deal. So we go. Nothing really eventful on the drive out there, except that it's like the middle of nowhere. There are like signs for cow crossings, because apparently they don't put their cows in fences in that area. Anyway, we changed time zones twice in a 2.5 hour. I don't even know how that happens. It was so confusing. But anyway.
Because they're a sovereign nation.
Some parts choose to do the daylight savings thing and saving or whatever, and some parts choose not to. We cross one imaginary line, and all of a sudden it's an hour later, and then all of a sudden 30 minutes later it's an hour earlier again, and man, it was confusing. Anyway, we get to the Grand Canyon.
Yes.
And
it's a big hole in the world. It's a big hole
now,
in the ground.
Now, let me just tell you something.
Yes.
There's a $45 pass. Because you can't go to the actual Grand Canyon without getting on their little bus. And they take you out there.
Hold on just a second, Adam. You just got dangerously close to doing something that I swore to a friend of the show, Nico Martinez, I swore that I would de-batancify this podcast. And you started to do a Joe Batancism right there, where you were like, now look. Now, yeah, I know you. The next words out of your mouth were going to be, you know, this Grand Canyon. No, I'm
this
going to. I'm
Grand
sorry.
Canyon.
Stand back away from the microphone for just a second. Hold on. I have to spray some deep besensification here on the. Make sure I get that good in there. Make sure I get the grapefruit on that. All right, I believe we have sufficiently debatansified this podcast. And now watch yourself, sir. Watch yourself.
All right, I'll try.
You are on notice.
So it's $45 to get on their little bus so they can take you to the ledge.
Oh, but Boyfi, it's once in a lifetime.
Boyfi. No, please. Mark was not all about it at all. I'm the one that wants to do the nature-y things. He could care less. Anyway, but if you want to, the big hit of this part of the Grand Canyon,
yes,
is the Skywalk.
Yes.
And it's this circular bridge thing that goes out over the canyon.
Yes, but it's clear.
It's clear. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. To do that, it's $75 per ticket.
$75.
And we're like, hell, we've already driven out here.
Oh my God, they got you. That is how they said here in the chat room, they said that's how they got you, and they got you, didn't they?
So yes. So we did that. But anyway, so we get to the entrance to the sky bridge. Oh, I know I have to say this one thing. Chinese tourists.
Oh God, no, no, no.
Oh my God. No,
no,
no, listen.
No.
They are walking up to the edge. These Native Americans, there is no fence or rope of any kind to keep you from falling off the edge of the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. There are these Chinese tourists inches away from the edge of the Grand Canyon, holding their cameras out over the Grand Canyon, taking photos. This is a rocky ledge with gravel.
Seriously,
all
folks,
over the place.
You know, if they didn't hate technology so much, they could have just sent a drone. They could have sent a drone with a camera and gotten a much better picture.
I was scared for those people. And when I went into the gift shop, I said, have you guys ever had any deaths here? Because there is no rope. There is nothing. It's like thousands of feet down to the... Anyway, so we get to the entrance thing.
What was the answer?
They said no. They said they've never had any debt. But, you know, are they going to tell me? Yes, sir. About every 2 weeks, you know, a Chinaman falls...
Did you just say Chinaman?
A Chinaman.
Oh, dear God, Adam. We are treading such a thin line here. My God.
Yeah, hi, guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Bone. Children's author, R.A. Montgomery, dead at 78. He was the writer of the Choose Your Own Adventure series of books. Bye.
Arthur Montgomery, the author of the Choose Your Own Adventure books. Hold on a second.
Did he die recently?
No, that's what I'm looking here for.
Yeah, he did.
Trying to see what we got. Are we giving it to him or are we not giving it to him?
Yeah, I like Choose Your Own Adventure, sure.
Clearly he chose wrong.
Okay. So anyway.
So you paid the $150.
We pay the $150. We get to the entrance to this thing. And they say, you cannot bring phones, cameras, anything out on this bridge.
Well, then what about the Chinese people that were there with their cameras?
No. They were on the edge of the cliff. They were not on the bridge. They were literally on the edge of the Grand Canyon, millimeters from falling over with loose gravel under their shoes, holding their... Anyway, we get to the entrance to this bridge, and they say, you can't carry any photographic anything onto the bridge. We have paid $150 for a photo op.
Yes.
And they say, you cannot carry any, but you know what?
What?
We will take photos of you.
That you can buy extra.
That you can buy afterwards. Motherfucker. Anyway, oh, wow. So that was that. Then, so that was that. I mean, it was the Grand Canyon. Yes, it was grand, but I mean, God bless America. The money they extorted from us just for a few photos and like a, anyway, then we decided, we went to Gordon Ramsay steak and I know you and I loved it.
Did you know, Adam, that the light fixture inside the dining room at the Gordon Ramsay steak is modeled after Chef Ramsay's hands movements as he makes his famous beef Wellington.
Yeah, they told us that too.
Did you roll your eyes as hard this time as the first time?
Mark was like, his hand movements? The beef Wellington this time tasted like dog food.
Dog food.
The service was slow. We were running late to the magic show.
Did they bring you extra bread?
I didn't ask for extra bread this time because we were really, really running behind and they were going so slow. You and I went, it was great. The service was good. It was fast. The food was good.
The service was not great. The guy took away your bread. He insisted on taking away the last piece of bread. Say, oh, no, we must bring you an entire new order of bread. They make us do it. And then he never did.
And then they forgot.
It was just like, what the fuck?
True. No, the beef Wellington tasted like dog food. I'm not even kidding. Anyway, and then I just have one thing to say about David Copperfield.
Yes.
He has aged.
I knew you were going to say that.
He has.
You know what, Adam? Everyone ages. That's like life.
And it was a decent show.
You know what, Adam? You've aged.
Nothing like what I expected.
Well, I don't know what he's doing on his show now. So I don't know.
Well, we can discuss it later. But anyway, it was. And that was the rest of my. Oh, the one other bad thing that happened. As we all know, Mark had already hit some animal on the way to Kansas City.
Yes.
We're driving home from the airport, the 2.5 hours, 3 hours home, and a rock flies out of a truck in front of us and hits his windshield, and we don't think anything about it. The next morning, he gets up, and when he's going out to go to work, there is a crack all the way down the middle of his windshield.
Over this button, as soon as you say one word about Asian drivers, it's going down on this button.
Right? No, I'm not. Guys, so I'm saying...
You've already said Chinaman, and...
He had a $2,500 repair job to his bumper and a $380 windshield replacement.
Now, in most states, if it's the front windshield, most states insurance covers the windshield, the front windshield, especially 100% because it's unsafe to drive without a front windshield.
They cover rock chips completely, but if it's a replacement, your deductible applies. And his deductible is $500, so he had to pay for the entire thing. Yeah, it's great.
That sucks. All right. Yes. Hello.
Hey, Robert here, calling to let you know that actress Carol Ann Soucy, who played Simon Holbrook's mother on The Big Bang Theory, has died at 62 with battle cancer. Anyway, Carol Ann Soucy dead at 62. Bye.
There you go. Carol Ann Soucy, the mother from The Big Bang Theory, I guess Howard's mother from The Big Bang Theory.
Howard.
You know, you always just heard her voice. You didn't actually see her, but that would be her, so.
All right. I don't watch that show, but I'm sure she's famous.
And that was a first-time call. That was a first-time caller. I always know who the first-time callers are because they are the ones that text me and go, what's the number to the death phone?
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
There you go. So, yes, that is Robert. So put down Robert there for that.
I will. I did already. So while I was in Vegas, you went somewhere.
I did. I went to two different things. I went to BlizzCon and to Disney. So BlizzCon is a 2-day event for Friday and Saturday. And then we went to Disney on Sunday and Monday. And So it's one of those things that is like, I'm not going to go on and on about BlizzCon because it was a life-changing event. It was absolutely amazing. I cried. I laughed. I cried. It was the most amazing experience that I've ever had in my life. And I'm absolutely looking forward to going next year. And it was just beyond belief. You are not a gamer. These are not your people. So this doesn't mean anything to you. So, you know, I see you with that confused look on your face.
Don't try to judge my face. No, I can imagine because to a lot of people, Pride 48 is that.
This is Pride 48 times a million. There's 25,000 people. 25,000 people there that no matter who they are, no matter what age they were, and the age ranged from, you know, 18-year-olds, 16-year-olds, all the way up to, you know, 80-year-olds. Men, women, boys, girls, didn't matter who they were, didn't matter what color were, didn't matter anything about them. All that, you know, you could walk up to anyone there and say something about any Blizzard game and instantly get into a conversation with people that knew what you were talking about and you were able to talk to them and just basically get your geek on. It was an amazing event. It was at the Anaheim Convention Center. I could not possibly begin to explain the scale of this event. It was just so huge. The main stage area sat like 7,000 people, and that was just one tiny corner of the convention center, which was completely filled with, you know, playtesting areas for their new expansions. They announced new IP. We saw the live raid stuff. It was just absolutely amazing. I absolutely, positively, just the most amazing event that I've ever been to.
Did you dress up?
No, I don't do cosplay. But there were people. I mean, there was a costume contest the first night, and so there were cosplayers that were dressed up for that. But that's
You going as like a cow.
It's not a cow. They're taurus.
Sorry, a bull. Yeah,
it's not. You know, it's a taurus. The thing is that it was just it was just an amazing event. I'm speechless about it. It was just I was so unprepared for the size and the scale of it that it was very emotional. It was a great, wonderful experience. And then we went to Disney on Sunday and Monday. So on Sunday, I went to Disney with Jean and Jerome. So Jean, my co-host from Alcohol, and her husband Jerome, and two of the folks that we raid with, Tyler and Ken. I know their character names. I'm trying to remember their actual real names. We went there. We went and saw the World of Color over at Disney California Adventure. Had a great day in the park there. And then on Monday, a friend of the show, Nico Martinez, came I went to the Kingdom with Nico on Monday. I did not meet back up with Jerome and Jean and Ken and Tyler because they were just taking forever to get to the park, and Nico and I had already gotten there and were doing things, and we just finally gave up on meeting with them because we had to leave early to go to the Magic Castle. You know, I've wanted to go to the Magic Castle since I was a kid. And I'm going to say
BlizzCon was fantastic.
No, BlizzCon was amazing. Disney was amazing. And I've wanted to go to the Magic Castle since I was a small child. And I would just like to personally say thank you to Joe Batance for getting me there, for like actually making that happen, for, you know, allowing me to go in and see the Magic Castle. But as you may have heard on his most previous show, some weirdness happened that kind of cut our evening really short. I didn't get to see the main showroom. We had a choice of either staying in a place that we didn't even know how to get around in, or basically leaving. And, you know, it was late and Nico wanted to leave, and so we left. And so I was very disappointed by the whole thing. And it's not Joe's fault. It's not, you know, and I understand that Cameron, you know, was not feeling well or whatever, but I don't know, maybe my expectations were too high, or maybe I just, you know, I don't know. I wanted to know more about things, but it basically, the whole evening got cut really short, and it was just very disappointing there. So,
well, I'm sorry that was disappointing. You could have stayed, though.
You couldn't. Or A, I don't have a car, so it's not my choice as to whether I stay there or not. But B, basically, Nico and I were in a building where we had never been in our life before. It's an old mansion that has all kinds of weird passageways and things like that. So it's like, I don't really know where things are in there. And so the only person in the world that we know was now leaving. And it's not a gay place, right? These are all straight people there. So it's not like you're in a gay bar where he's, you know, like, hey, right, you know, whatever. It's like, this was very much, you know, we were kind of left on our own there. And it was an uncomfortable thing to do. It's just not something that you just like jump out there and do. So it was it was one of those things. I think if I were to ever go to it again, I would go specifically to LA just to do that. Because that was the other thing, was leaving Disney early and then sitting on the interstate for such a long time to get there. Just, you know, added to the frustration of it. So
I want to go. And Joe has said he will take Mark and I as well when we go to LA. But a couple of questions about it, because I knew it was a club for magicians. But is it open? Like, is it only open certain days, or is it open like all week long?
No, it's open all week, I believe.
And there's magic. There are magic shows going on constantly.
So like, there are right, so
all
there,
the time.
This is something you should have Joe explain, because what I understand and what I experienced was that there were some smaller showrooms that we saw two shows in smaller rooms, like very small rooms, like let's say the size of the HR training room that we were in Vegas that one year.
Okay.
So there's like two rooms like that we saw shows in that were just, they weren't headlining acts. They were just basically, you know, they were performers. There was a show, you know, the doors were shut. We saw an entire beginning to end performance. But then also throughout this place, there are tables in different rooms where anyone can sit down and practice magic. Anyone can sit down and do, and like if they're trying to work out an act or they're trying to like work on their own stuff, where they can do it and have an audience of people that will watch them. And you know what I'm saying? So it's not like they're there, you know, you're not Adam the Magnificent that's there, right? You're Adam who is a working magician who is trying out a new bit, and you want to try out in front of some people without being on stage. And so you do it, you know, in one of these little practice rooms there, and other people can come and watch. So we got to see basically two small shows, and then someone do some practice stuff, and that was it. That's what we got to see. And again, it sounds like I'm bitching about this, and I'm really not. I apologize. I'm in a kind of a weird headspace, and so it's. I do really, honestly, I do appreciate Robert. I really do appreciate Joe Batanza taking us there. Hello.
Yeah, hi guys. RT Cruiser for the Celebrity Death Zone. Film critic Charles Champlin, dead at 88. Bye.
I don't know who that is.
I have no idea who that is. All right. So there you go. That was that was my BlizzneyCon trip. So,
well, I would say ultimately you had a good time and you had a good trip.
I had an amazing time at BlizzCon. Absolutely amazing time at BlizzCon. And then I want to, before you talk about your car troubles, I just wanted to say that I'm going to be purposely obtuse about some stuff, but it's like I've been going through some very difficult personal stuff over the last 6 or 7 weeks. Both Robert and I have gone through some things that have really kind of been very emotional and very difficult to deal with. And I kind of haven't really been posting a lot of stuff on social media because there's just a lot of stuff that I really just can't post. I can't say anything about. I haven't really been saying anything on podcasts because it's a very personal thing, and it's not something that I, you know, am really free to just, you know, go out there and say stuff about. So, if I sound like I'm in a really pissy kind of weird kind of mood, that's all it is. I'm going through some very personal things, and I apologize for that. You know, there you go. That's all I would say.
I'll just say I'm probably a really sucky friend. Cause I don't, when people are going through stuff, like I don't really know what to say. So I always just tell you, oh, I'm here, but I don't really know what to say. But as you know, we're all here for you anytime you need anything. So,
and
I know what it's like to go through things in life as well as a lot of other people know. So like I told you earlier, I think, you know, ultimately things work out for the best and good things come out of stuff. It just doesn't feel that way when it's happening.
Moving on. So you had car trouble, I hear.
Oh, I did.
Sorry about that. Yes. Hello.
Kathy Bacon, dead or alive, DM Brown. She's a reality star, mm-hmm. and she just died of cancer, age 32. She was on The Amazing Race.
The Amazing Race.
And she had cancer when she was 23, and it came back again when she was 32. And she just found out, she just got the cancer diagnosis in, excuse that fog in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
She got recently, like 5-7 months ago. Okay. Thank you.
No. Adam, you know, Adam has a longstanding rule here on this show that reality stars are
not famous. And I'm sick of death right now. And cancer. Could cancer just go to hell?
Cancer if I ever could die, go to hell.
You know what?
I did.
If I ever die of cancer, I don't want anyone to know that I died of cancer.
You know, it's funny that you say that. Well, it's not funny that you say that, but just like today I got a message from my friend Damien, former roommate, friend of mine. His dog, Buddy, had cancer and died last night. And Buddy was, I knew Buddy since he was a puppy. It was kind of like my little nephew. And I was really looking forward to seeing, but I knew he'd had cancer and I knew he wasn't doing well. And I was really hoping that he would make it through next week when I'm down in Florida so I would get to see him. But that wasn't to be. So
I had a Maltese dog when I was 11. She died of cancer. Dang it. Yeah. Anyway,
cancer
but I'm
sucks.
Still not giving you points. So another bad thing other than cancer.
And let's move from cancer to car troubles.
As everyone knows, I've been driving my car for, no one knows the number, but I've been driving my Z3 for 16 years.
Nobody knows the number.
16 years I have been driving my Z3.
You have been clinging on to that Z3 like you have to your 20s. And it's...
I am not clinging on to my 20s.
Look at me. I'm in my 20s driving my BMW convertible that they haven't made for 16 years.
Anyway, so I'm driving down the road about a week and a half ago, and I speed up because I'm passing a truck or something. I don't know what I'm doing.
You're speeding.
Anyway, I'm speeding.
You're
up.
On drugs. You're hopped up on goofballs.
Right, exactly. I'm speeding up, and I start hearing this kind of clicking. I can't even describe it, but it's like this clicking noise, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, my engine just stops.
Stops.
Like, the power's still on, the radio's still on, the lights are still on, the dash lights are still on, everything's still on. The engine's not running, and the gas does nothing, nothing at all. I just, you know, so I coast over onto the shoulder.
Wait, this is a BMW Z3.
It is.
It probably needed a kidney transplant. Oh, ba-doom-boom.
I don't get that one.
Oh, no,
sorry. Sorry. Anyway, I'm sure everyone else does, and it's just went over my head. But anyway, so pull over onto the shoulder. It was like one of the coldest nights in the year so far here. It was like 5 degrees or something. It was butt-ass cold. And no heater, no nothing. So I call a tow truck, blah, blah, blah. Long story short, my engine may have run out of oil.
May have run out of oil.
And my car might need a new engine.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So I got a rental car and I was trying to decide because I was really honestly planning on buying a new car next year when I got my bonus because I wanted a large down payment. And I knew it was time and I've just been putting it off. So long story short, it caused me to have to buy a car because I can't. It would be stupid to fix that car. It's worth like $500 and to fix it would be like $4,000. So I had to buy a new car. So I just went through the whole car buying process this weekend.
The whole car buying
the
process.
The whole car
and
buying
I
process.
I can't help but notice. Week. You know what? I had this thing that was going on a while back when I was co-hosting on Live It Up, the podcast, where both of my co-hosts were driving around in pieces of crap, beat up old cars that they've tried to patch together with duct tape and like chewing gum from the 80s. And I tell both of them, like, why don't you just buy a new car? Oh, it's impossible to buy a new car. That's just way too complicated. And I notice, Adam, that you don't seem beat up at all. You seem like you are still breathing. Seems like you are still walking around.
I hated the process. My credit is horrible and that does not make it easy. I knew what car I wanted. I had wanted a Nissan 350. Did you see the pictures, by the way?
I did.
What'd you think?
It's a car.
You don't like it?
No, you know what? It's a car.
It's sexy.
Here's the thing, Adam.
I even said I got a 370Z.
You got a 370Z. And here's the thing. Is my love car growing up, like the car that I always wanted when I was growing up, was a 280Z. And it's got the long front end nose, like kind of like the old RX-7. It's got the long front end nose, mm-hmm. and it's kind of like that really cool, like, you know, classic 80s Sportster kind of a look. And the 350Z was when they first restarted redoing the Zs a few years ago, like 10 years ago or so. And yep. The 370s, I think. And it's just too generic looking for. It's like, I really love that old. It's like, I don't like the new RX-7s either because I love that old style. You know, if I was going to drop that kind of money on a car, I literally would just like go to a guy and say, build me that car. Build me my old 280Z. You know, go craft me a 280Z from scratch and put a Chevy engine in. I don't care. Put like a Scion engine. I don't care. You know, go buy a brand new Scion, throw away all the body parts and build me a new, you know, something that looks like a 280Z. But I wouldn't do, I mean, I understand. If you like that car, then it's great. And I don't dislike that car. I'm just saying that I really love the 280Z. And so I can't look at your car without thinking, wow, I really like the 280Z.
Okay. Well, anyway, the process, I found one in Tulsa that I really liked and they had me pre-approved. But then Mark sent me some like some ads for some other ones. And then I thought, oh, that's that gunmetal gray color is so sexy and whatever. And then there was one. So there was one in Dallas that was a year newer than the one in Tulsa. It was gunmetal gray. This is the one I ended up purchasing at an actual dealership instead of just a used car place. It's certified pre-owned by Nissan, still had a warranty on it and all that kind of stuff. So I thought, oh, you know, maybe I should do that one. Anyway, so we ended up driving to Dallas and. But the process, I think, first of all, they withheld a scratch from me.
Yes.
I asked them on the phone, is there any damage on this car?
They withheld it.
Irritated the fuck out of me because they had used one of those paint things to mask this big, huge scratch on the quarter panel.
Yeah. Now, was it a big, huge scratch or was it your...
It's like this. It's like 3 or 4 inches down to the metal. Like, you couldn't just buff it out. I mean, this is like the paint was gone and they covered it up with like a paint pen, a Sharpie or something. I don't know. Anyway, so, and I couldn't even negotiate him down but like $200 for that. $200 or $300. Like, oh, you can get that fixed. No problem. Anyway, but I had already driven all that way and I love the car. I just don't like that scratch. And then you think you've got everything negotiated, everything. You know, you're set on a price. You have the down payment in your hand. You know, I had a horrible interest rate, but I knew that was going to happen. And then they put you into the office of the devil incarnate, the finance guy. And they, let me tell you something, Daniel.
Yes.
This finance guy.
Yes. Oh, wait, hold on. I'm sorry. Please step away from the microphone. Step away from the microphone. That was a tough stain to get out. We are going to de-batansify this podcast if it's the last thing we do.
Anyway, I'll just tell you.
Yes.
That after the finance guy got done with me.
Yes.
I was probably, the car cost me about $5,000 more because I'm not good at maintenance. Okay. He convinced me.
Oh my God. And you got the extended maintenance. Oh my.
I did. And maybe it was a poor choice, but now in my, Mark helped me make this decision, but now, you know, he's from another country and other things. But anyway, in my defense, because I did that, my what was going to be 14.5% interest rate, they decreased to 9.7.
Wow. So I'm not going to pull the math here on you, but
what
so
he said,
they decreased
I saved
the
like
interest rate,
$4,000 or $5,000 in interest,
which you just paid $4,000 or $5,000 up front. So you basically swapped a $5,000 potential interest because you could have always sold the car. You could have always prepaid the car off.
I have free oil changes, though, Daniel.
You have free oil. Well,
and I have a bumper-to-bumper warranty for 7 years. Anyway, that I love my car.
I'm not going to tell you something, and you're going to tell me to shut up. But I'm going to tell it to you anyway. You don't have to tell me what I guess you kind of just did. You said you got a 9% interest rate or something like that.
Yeah, it's horrible. My credit's bad.
Okay, but here's what you do. Whatever your car payment is a month, it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever your car payment is a month, pay like $150 to $200 extra on that payment. Mm-hmm. And make sure on your little payment slip there, if you do it or if you do it online, make sure that you mark it that extra money goes to the principal. And effectively, it will lower your interest rate over this because what you're talking about is an APR, right? You're talking about an annual percentage rate, so 14% annually. But if you overpay on your principal, then you're actually going to end up paying off your loan sooner and it actually reduces
I'm gonna
the
do two things.
Interest rate.
And this is That's where I'm saying. Smart, even though I might have been stupid. Although I do like the maintenance contract because I'm bad at maintenance. So the fact that I can go in and have stuff done for free, mm-hmm. even though I paid more, is good for me. let's just remember that I have, this is the second car that the engine has burned up because I've let it run out of oil. Anyway, so I.
Now you do know that the car, you still have to take it in to get the free oil.
Well, yeah, but it's free and they.
But you still have to take it in to get it done because it's not. I don't think your engines ran out of oil because, you know, you didn't have a free oil change. I think you just didn't take it in to get it done.
That BMW had it out for me. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, so I'm going to do two things. I'm going to make payments every 2 weeks. Okay. Instead of once a month.
That's fine. That's
so that reduces it.
Yes.
That reduces it because you're making 26 payment or you're making an extra payment a year or something like that, basically.
You're making 24 payments instead of 12. Yes.
And then, well, but not full payments. I'm going to half it, but that's fine.
It will effectively lower the interest rate.
That will shorten the amount of time. And the second thing I'm going to do is every year when I get my bonus, I'm going to put $3,000 or $4,000 of that bonus on the car.
Well, I wouldn't do that. What I would do is I would for your first year, because you're going to get your Christmas bonus now. So like just basically target next Christmas. So what I would do, now suddenly we sound like click and clack here, but here's what I would do is I would go ahead and make the extra payment on it every month, like another couple of $100 towards the loan every single month, which is going to reduce your principal overall. However, it's going to, at the end of the year, right, of you having that car payment and making it, you could potentially improve your credit enough that you could actually refinance the car at the end of the year. But to refinance the car, you're going to have to pay a point on it. So use your Christmas bonus next year to pay the point on the car to refinance it to a much lower interest rate. And then by that point in time, you probably will have a lot, you know, it'll be a lot more manageable.
Yeah. And in the chat room, they're saying, oh, I could get a 1.9% interest rate. And Baron's like, I haven't paid interest on a car until...
Baron Frosty has already canceled the It's All About Me Thanksgiving parade, and now he's trying to ruin your new car.
No, the reason I've been putting off getting a car is because I have the worst credit.
Then fix it.
I'm working on it.
You can always fix it.
When Maddie and I had issues and he quit his job.
How many years ago was that?
It was... Well, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay, well, so you've got one or two more years before everything disappears.
Right, I understand that, but that's why I was putting off buying a car.
Okay.
Anyway, but I love my car, and that's it. I got a car. I don't love the experience, though. I don't. Horrible. Horrible experience.
Exactly. Excellent. All right. We're going to skip over the tech segment because...
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, okay.
So I'll be quick on this. The California-based animal rights activist called Direct Action Everywhere, they have added a new tactic to their playbook. Funerals.
You know,
if
they were called Direct Inaction Everywhere, their initials would be DIE.
Yes, I do know that. they are now giving funerals for frozen chickens.
Good night, Baron Frosty. Baron Frosty is leaving.
Good night, Baron.
He's ruined the Thanksgiving parade, and now he's just leaving our chat room. All right, good night. Good night, Baron.
Mr. 0%. Anyway, that's because Baron's a 1%er. That's why he has zero. Anyway, so they are holding these funerals in grocery stores during business hours.
I'm sorry. Hold your story for just a second. That was Kathy Bacon that was leaving because her name was... Baron Bacon and Bacon and Baron Frosty has changed his name to Bacon Baron. It's very confusing. It's very confusing.
He's still a member of the 1%.
The Direct Action for Everywhere, whatever their names were. I forget what they were. Yeah,
they're having funerals for frozen chickens.
That is amazing.
In grocery stores during business hours.
I would love that. I would love to be in a grocery store and see that happening.
Well, they go to Berkeley, California.
Of course it's in Berkeley.
They recently executed a protest in Berkeley and recorded the entire event for its YouTube channel. The video begins with a young man lifting a frozen chicken from the poultry section and carrying it to the store's meat department. After yelling the group's mantra, "It's not food, it's violence," mourners in black clothing, some carrying flowers, a symbol, and a coffin appears.
Wait, they killed the flowers? They went and killed living flowers to do this. A little bunch of hypocrites.
The frozen chicken is placed inside the casket and the funeral begins.
Casket made out of wood from a tree they killed, yes?
Anyway, so there's apparently YouTube videos of all this. There's more to the story, but that's basically it. They're now holding funerals for frozen chickens.
In Berkeley, of course they are.
Yeah. I bet Mike Lawson would be all about that.
Mike Lawson is probably in on it. He's probably there. It's like, this turkey, if only this turkey had taken the big blue test, he would still be alive.
He's like, as long as you're not using technology during this protest.
Right. I will not be using technology during this frozen chicken burial.
So the last story, I'm not going to do the third one, but this one, this is not really funny, and you're not going to find this funny at all.
Excellent. I'll just wait over here.
You are going to hate this story, and you probably have already seen the title of it, but I think it's funny, so I'm going to say. So there's a post on either Twitter, I think it's Twitter, saying, can't believe my fucking cat ate a $15 pound pizza. Fat cunt. I'm livid. I've been looking forward to that all day. My pussy will be getting wet tonight, let me tell you. Little cunt. Anyway, so the post, which has now been taken down, was screen grabbed by users. A woman locked her pet cat inside a pet carrier and left it partially submerged in her, I'm sorry, I don't know why I find this funny, in her bathtub after it ate her pizza. In an angry post uploaded to Facebook, the woman said she had been looking forward to the pizza all day. And there was a picture of the cat carrier.
Did she
didn't drown the cat. She partially submerged.
She put the cat in the bathtub, and you just, it's like, it's not a cat house, lady. It's a damn bathhouse.
Cats hate water. And I can just imagine this cat, like, doing everything it can to, like, stand on its tiptoes and not touch the water.
Why does this person have a 15-pound pizza? Where do you even get such a thing as a 15-pound pizza?
Not 15 pounds. It's in England.
It's the crazy British people. Well, of course, that's what it is.
Yeah, anyway, she didn't kill the cat, but it's okay. Anyway, I just, for some reason, I find stupid things funny. That's it. That's all the news we have time for.
I'm so glad you helped me get to the fiesta today. Do you know why today is such a special fiesta?
Why, Dora?
Why, Dora?
It's a birthday fiesta!
Yay!
So let's all sing happy birthday in English and Spanish. Ready?
Right. So
why does YouTube have to have ads, really?
Because that's how they make money. All right, here we go. Ready for the birthday thing. I just didn't feel like singing along with Dora tonight, sorry. And let's go do the birthday thing, which apparently Mike Lawson is much better at it than I am, because, you know, you guys are the same age and you only pull things that are within your cultural wheelhouse. That's fine. Go ahead, Adam. Play me the theme to Growing Pains. I can't hear you. You don't have that channel turned on.
They call me Dynamo, but I be yelling Bomino. So you about to undergo Daenerys in a Game of Thrones. No, I'm not no
problem. Sounds like RuPaul, but it's not. Is it?
What?
This sounds like RuPaul, but it's not, is it? Is it? This is RuPaul. Wow, I picked her voice out of that. Then it's RuPaul.
It is. It's RuPaul's birthday.
Charles RuPaul. Charles or Charles.
That's
RuPaul.
Geronimo, and she has a hot guy doing some kind of booty dance in that song.
Take that, Mike Lawson.
I enjoyed watching that booty dance. Anyway, RuPaul is a fabulous 54 years old.
I would have gone with 72. Okay.
No, she's younger than
Morgan Freeman.
Morgan Freeman, yeah. All right, here's our next one. Happy birthday, RuPaul.
We clawed, we chained our hearts in vain. We jumped, never asking why. We kissed, I fell.
It is a female singer.
It is a female. Wait, just no give it a second. Maybe you'll get it in a second.
Don't you ever say I just want.
She's naked? In this video.
Is this Lady Gaga?
It is not Lady Gaga.
No, because her birthday's in March.
The hook is coming up.
Okay.
I came in like a
It's Miley Cyrus.
It is. Miley Cyrus.
I only know the chorus to that song.
Yeah, I figured I should have started it further in there. Miley Cyrus is 22 years old.
22 years young. Isn't she? She's the daughter of Billy Ray Cyrus.
She is. You know, and it's so funny. She has worked so hard to wash the stink of Billy Ray off of her.
I'm not even going to touch that metaphor.
The stink
really.
of the Billy Ray boots or whatever, because she used to be this, you know, country kind of long haired, innocent looking, whatever. And now she's like, I don't know. Anyway. All right. Happy birthday, Miley. Here is our next one.
It's oh so quiet.
This is a stupid song that every drag queen in the goddamn universe does at some point in time, and I don't know who this is. I just hate this. I've seen every drag queen in the southeastern United States do this number, and they all suck.
Well, she dresses funny. One time she dressed with a swan around her neck. Bjork.
I don't even know who that is. That's a made-up name as far as I'm concerned. It's that Bjork. Drag queen song. Name one other song that she's ever done.
I don't know. She's done lots of songs.
Whatever.
She is famous. Anyway, doesn't matter. Let me just pause this ad. Okay.
Let's see another drag queen's take on that.
Bjork is 49.
I want to see Donna Sugars do that song.
All right. Donna Sugars, you gauntlet has been thrown.
Actually, Donna Sugars is too big of a star to stoop to the level of doing that crappy song.
All right, here we go. I have two songs for this one.
This is the theme to Boston Legal?
Yes, it is the theme to Boston Legal.
I wish you could find the one that's the guy singing it.
All right, I probably could. But anyway, here you're going to shake your head and hate me for this one. But here is the next theme song.
It's Night Court.
Yes, it is Night Court. So we have Boston Legal and we have Night Court.
Boston Legal and Night Court.
Yes.
What do these two things have in common? Boston Legal.
They're both law shows.
And Boston Legal, of course, had Denny Crane and James Spader. And I know his name's not Denny Crane. It's William Shatner. But had Candace Bergen on it. So there's somebody on...
Yes. That is usually Boston why Legal. I select two.
Was it Richard Mall? Was he on?
No.
No. It wasn't Harry Anderson.
Nope.
I'm running out of... Oh, it's the woman.
It's not.
No, it's not the woman. Is it John Larroquette?
It is John Larroquette.
Wow.
John Larroquette was on Boston Legal for, I don't know, 3 or 4 years.
He must have played the world's most non-memorable character.
Well, he was on there. I remember him being on there. Anyway, John Larroquette is 67 years old.
67 years young.
And here is the last one. Happy birthday, John Larroquette. Yes. And here is our last
one. Yay. This is the unmistakable vocal stylings of Miss Tina Turner.
Yes, it is. Tina Turner. See, there's one from your generation.
That's right. This is from my generation. Exactly. So Tina Turner. Happy birthday, Tina Turner.
Although, you know, this video says it was published in 2009. So I don't know if she redid this video recently or if it's just been published recently. I mean, I know 2009 was 5 years ago.
I was going to say 2009 is not exactly recent. Almost 6 years ago. But, yeah.
Anyway, Tina Turner is 75 years old.
75 years young.
And still looks fabulous and still tours and still does all that. Anyway, do we have any Pride 48 birthdays?
We do. I don't remember what ones were read last time, but I do know that just recently, George in Atlanta had his birthday and Tom in the Chicago, from Tom and Terry.
Well, happy birthday.
And we're only doing ones that have passed, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then we will save. If you would like to see whose birthday is coming up on Pride 48, you can always go to the front page of Pride48.com and look under the section that says Happy Birthday. And if you would like your birthday to show up there, then make sure you sign up for a Pride 48 account and check the little checkbox that says, yes, I'd like to display my birthday. So there you go.
Yes.
Excellent. Let's get to our voicemail, shall we?
All right. Let's do it.
I kind of feel like we had an email, and I
didn't see any, but that doesn't mean we didn't have any.
I think maybe we didn't. Let's see. Yeah, I don't think we did.
All I show in mine is voicemails.
Okay, great. Let's move on. If someone did send us an email, then we apologize. We don't know what it is. But let's listen to this voicemail, shall we? Hello.
Hello, lovies. Oh, I'm all worried. The last little show that Daniel Beaver was known, and I know he was out there in the City of Angels, and you know, they're known for their gangs out there.
Oh,
I was just hoping, and I didn't hear a celebrity death phone call from that RT Cruiser about Beaver, but anyway, I hope that he was not taken captive by those gangs out near LAX. But thank you for calling, and yes.
No, I was not. I was not shot by a gang in L.A. I was in Anaheim. Quite safe, thank you. That was, of course, the lovely and talented Big Fatty from Big Fatty Online.
Thank you for calling.
What are you doing? You're like over there texting on your phone. You're like looking at the screen. What do you have nothing?
No,
to say?
No, I was trying to put a picture of my car in the chat room, but I don't know if people can go because it's on Mark's Facebook, and I don't know if they can see it. And no one has said anything, so I don't know if they click if they were able to get to that photo or not.
I can't. No.
But I'd have to save it to my computer and then save it somewhere else, and then it would be difficult.
It was just really, honestly, it's a new car. Just go look up 370Z.
It's a 370Z.
It's like gunmetal gray or something.
It is.
All right, let's go to the next phone call here. Hello.
Hey, Adam. How you doing? This is Joe Batanz out here in California. I'm at a Walmart here in Chino Hills, and I'm looking for a 65-watt LED bulb, but the kind that you don't need, not an outdoor one, like an indoor one. I need six of them, and they only have three here. And the manager said she can't look at the other one, if there's more at other Walmarts. So I was wondering if you could do that for me. Okay, cool. I really need these today because all the lights in the kitchen went out, and I need to replace those bulbs. Thanks.
Right. Mm. Why did all these lights go out?
I thought Mexicans only shopped at Home Depot.
Ooh. We went from Chinaman to now just disparaging the Mexican race.
Why
can't you help? You work at Walmart. I don't understand why you can't help him.
I don't work in a store.
It's better than that. You work in the corporate office. You're like, I could go into a store and I could threaten. I could say, you know what? My friend Adam works at the corporate office. Yeah, I can have him call you right now.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly right. I don't know anything about LED bulbs and what stores you can get them at.
And what is lighting your room right now?
Well, I know what you want me to say. I have LED lights behind me that are not on currently.
Okay.
But yeah.
Right, let's go to our next phone call, shall we? Hello.
Hey, Adam. How you doing? Zebatan's here. You know, I'm still here at the Walmart. Could you also talk to somebody? Because they run out of fiddle faddle. They don't know when they're going to get some in. And could you talk to somebody and see if they could order more? It's the Chino Hills Walmart. If they could order some more fiddle faddle. Thanks.
It's just fun to say. Fiddle faddle.
I have to commiserate with Joe on this one. I wish I could help you with that, Joe. But you do not know how many times I have gone to my local Walmart and they are out of the thing that I want.
Fiddle faddle?
I don't know that I've ever eaten fiddle faddle in my life, but I start loving something. There's some product that I think, man, this is so good. I'm going to eat it forever. And then the next week I go, they had 80 calorie hamburger buns, which, you know, whatever. I mean, they're just hamburger buns and they were small and they're not great, but I liked them because they were low calorie. 1 week they had them. Went back for the next 2 months. No 80-calorie hamburger buns.
You know,
even asked one of the workers.
You know, on Amazon, you could send Joe Batanz like six boxes of fiddle faddle for $21, free shipping. So you could just send him like six boxes of fiddle faddle.
But that's not Walmart. That's Amazon.
Yeah, I'm just saying that because But shouldn't you make it right since
right.
Walmart is
I
out?
Work for Walmart, and I'm going to tell you, Joe, go to Amazon and get it. Don't
no,
shop
I wasn't,
at
no,
Walmart,
I was,
whatever
you
do.
You should just take care of it. You should send it. He is a valued customer, and you should yes. just take care of it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our last phone call here, shall we? Hello.
Hey, guys. It's Carrie. I have a tech question.
Oh, yes.
What is net neutrality?
Oh, God.
And is it a good thing or a bad thing? Mm-hmm. I keep hearing about it, and I'm just too lazy to look it up, so instead I turn to the expert.
Oh, great.
So, thanks. Bye.
Don't ask me, because Daniel will tell you that I don't know what it is. So, Daniel, tell everyone what net neutrality is.
Net neutrality is a political buzzword that people like to throw around. And what it really means, the simple concept of it is, net neutrality has the potential of becoming like the next political correct, which is the political correct movement or political correctness movement was a valid movement. And now people have like attribute everything bad in the world with it, even though it has nothing to do with political correctness. Net neutrality is simply saying that if you provide internet service to someone, that you should treat all packets equally, that you shouldn't go and say, oh, I'm not going to let packets from Netflix come in here because I have a competing video service, because I am Verizon and I'm your ISP, but I'm also your cable company. And I want to like prioritize my traffic to come to you faster so that you'll use my video service, because you'll be unhappy with the way that Netflix performs, unless Netflix wants to pay me a bunch of extra money, and in which case then I'll like give them. So it was just basically to set them up as a regulation. You know, net neutrality basically says that if you're going to provide internet service to people, you should not be allowed to shape the traffic for a competitive nature. And it gets more complex than that, because there's always traffic shaping going on, because just of the way the internet works and the way the packets work, there always has to be some kind of traffic shaping, specifically because streaming video has to be prioritized over email packets and stuff like that, because it doesn't matter if you have to wait 1 or 2 seconds for your email to arrive, but if you miss a packet in a millisecond of a video stream, then you're going to end up with a stutter. So it's complicated, because we're always doing shaping at every stage of routing through the internet. But net neutrality basically is saying that, hey, if you have a competing service, you shouldn't be allowed to control the pipes and to degrade other people's services that compete with you, is basically what it's saying. So there, that's probably convoluted, but that was the gist of net
basically
neutrality.
You shouldn't be able to slow down Netflix. That's about it.
If people
are paying for a certain speed, I'm just simplifying it.
You're simplifying, but it's not just about slowing down Netflix, because it could be that you're slowing down Netflix for other reasons, because the internet between you and Netflix is over flooded or whatever. But what they're saying is that if you have a video service, you shouldn't be able to slow down the packets of other video services for the sake of making them like trying to extort more money out of them, to say, oh no, well, you have to pay us extra because everyone's going to use our video service. It's really complicated. It's another one of these things where the underlying technology is so complicated, and that lawmakers have no hope of like getting this right. And so it's just a worrying thing. But yeah, overall, net neutrality is good, right? We want
right.
things to be equal. We don't want you know, a startup video company to have to pay exorbitant fees to compete against Verizon, right? In other words, if Verizon is going to provide an internet service, then they need to make a level playing field. But the internet is a very complicated thing, and so there's a lot of, you can't just boil it down like that. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. So I believe that is all the contact that we have.
It is.
3, 2, 1, contact. Excellent.
Daniel?
Yes, Adam.
Did?
Yes, I did. It was during the cat story.
Okay.
See, I know you well enough to know that that's what you were going to ask me. And then there you go. And that's
the listeners probably know, because we have this conversation at the end of almost every show.
We do. But it's all right. I've got it handled.
Good. Good. Thank you. I appreciate that. You're wonderful.
This is Dubious Intent Plus, sir. This is not Dubious Intent Minus. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus, 229-234-7587. It's also the phone number you would call to report celebrity deaths, or if you have any general Walmart issues at your local Walmart store. Make sure you include the store number and the city that you're calling from for faster service. I think, and also maybe the manager's name. If you can get the manager's name, that would be good too. You know, just someone for Adam to like, you know, basically take care of there for you. Adam, do you have big plans for Thanksgiving?
Nothing on Thanksgiving Day. I hope to relax. There's a Filipino dinner.
Filipino dinner on Thanksgiving Day.
They're pouring everything out on the table.
So that's how the Filipinos do.
And eating with their hands.
sense.
It'll be an experience.
It will. It will be an experience. You are absolutely correct.
The family is getting together on Saturday.
Excellent. So. Good night, chat.
Good night, David.